All right. Well, why don't we open our Bibles to the book of Exodus. And we'll be looking this morning at Exodus 2, verses 15 through 25. Exodus 2, verse 15 through 25. Last week, we looked at Moses and how in a response to the injustice of his people being enslaved or seeing an Egyptian beating his fellow Hebrew, he intervened and killed him, killed the Egyptian, and he was found out. Pharaoh found out about it, and so he was forced to flee, and that's where we pick up the story today. Where he's forced to flee, and we'll read verses 15 through 25 then of Exodus 2. It's down on page 89 in your scripture if you'd like to follow along with me. When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters. And they came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" asked the daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah's birth gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." During that period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Okay, so I think last week we kind of looked at how it was probably, though the text doesn't necessarily say it, and though there has been some disagreement, among some of the early church fathers that what Moses did was wrong, and that he murdered a man. I think there has been some disagreement over that as to whether it was a murder or an execution, whether he was God's agent or whether he was acting of his own accord, trying to save Israel and save Israel by his own hand rather than God's hand. I think it was probably the former, in that he what he did was murder, and that's kind of where we ended up. Now this morning, Moses is faced with another injustice, I guess my question is did he learn from his mistake of killing the Egyptian, if indeed that was a mistake? He comes here to rest at a well in Midian, and what happens? A bunch of bullies come along and drive away the shepherds that there's these women shepherds, and they're watering their flock, and these bullies come along and drive them away. And what does Moses do? Well, Moses drives the shepherds away and waters the flock of the ladies. So what do you think? Has Moses learned anything from his previous confrontation with injustice? Injustice previously of Moses beating his, or not Moses, of the Egyptian beating his Hebrew servant. What do we see here in this reaction here?
He might have controlled his anger.
Okay.
He controlled his anger and maybe not react so quickly.
Okay.
In such a drastic way, at least.
Okay. All right. So he didn't use deadly force. He drove them away, right? So it seems that there at least is some control of his anger. Any other clues that we have here?
Then he saw these men trying to take advantage of the well. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we see, Moses has a very strong reaction, doesn't he, against injustice. I think that the somewhat of the remarkable thing here is that, do you remember where Moses was raised? In the palace, right? So he was raised as a prince of Egypt. Is this something a prince would do? And your way of thinking? I mean, we...
No, I don't think so, because I don't think he would have seen the injustice. You know what I mean? Because he would have had his life in the palace.
Okay.
So he might not have seen what the common people were doing.
Okay.
That there was injustice.
Okay. And what in particular about Egypt do we know about the people of Egypt?
They didn't like shepherds.
They didn't like shepherds. Right? They thought that they were dirty, right? They thought that, and here we have a prince of Egypt not only caring enough about these shepherds to right the injustice, but what does he do? You notice that? The ladies come home and they say to their father, he says, why were you so early in coming home today? And what do they say? The Egyptian rescued us, and what? He watered our flock, right? Is that something that you would picture a prince, an Egyptian prince, doing? No. It seems, at least, that, Moses is learning something here, right? That maybe he's learned a little bit of a lesson already. And I think we need to look at this whole passage as God's schoolhouse for Moses. Anyone know how long Moses was in Midian?
40 years.
40 years. Right? It says it in the book of Acts, in Stephen's sermon. He indicates that Moses was in Egypt for 40 years. Anyone know how old Moses was when he went to Midian?
40.
So by the time he leaves Midian, he's what? 80 years old, right? Anyone know who wrote Psalm 90? I think it's Psalm 90, right? Moses, right? You know what the words are of that psalm? Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Says something about, you know, man's years are but 70 and 80 if they have the strength, but they're full of sorrow and suffering, trouble. It's not like, you know, when Moses was, you know, in the early days when people lived to be 900 years old, I guess is the point, you know. I mean, most people, 80 years old was, you know, that was, they were approaching the end, right? And we know that, from what we know of that Moses actually lives to be 120, and it's not until he is 80 that he really begins his life's work, right? He really begins to do what God has called him to do. Those first 80 years were what? They were preparation for Moses. The first 40 years, great preparation that he's in the prince. I mean, he's learning languages. He's learning, you know, all about Egyptian culture, imaginably. I mean, there's all kinds of things he's learning in those years in the palace. And now he's in the wilderness, right? Or he's in Midian, and he's learning that much more. And I think, you know, at the beginning here, we certainly see that he's learned a little bit of a lesson already. But let's look at the rest of the passage and see what God is using to school Moses, to teach Moses what he would have him to learn and to prepare him for his life's work. Okay, so where does God bring him after he's been in Egypt? He brings him to where? What location? To Midian, okay. What do we know about Midian? Geographically? Midian was a Ivan. Well, geographically, Midian is in the wilderness. It's in the desert. The Middle East right now. If you know anything about the Middle East, there's a lot of desert, right, in the Middle East, in a very desert-like place. And you know, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it, when we have these Midianites, and they're desert people, and where, you know, where is Moses? He's at a well, you know, in the desert, right? This is the place that God brings him. Can you think of people that learned something while they were in the desert? That people that learned something when they were in the desert.